Good morning.
Our sermon text for today from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 1 to 14, and chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. Chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my assessor, did. With a clear conscience, as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. And I reminded you of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Louise and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on my hands. For the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but give us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death, has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. In this gospel, I was appointed an herald, an apostle, and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. I thank God, whom I serve as my Sorry. 13. What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Chapter 4, verse 6 to 8. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. An honor to read the scripture. God bless us.
Good morning, church. First of all, let's give a hand to Sarah for that very long Bible reading. The reason that it is so long is that I will be speaking on this passage for 2 weeks. Okay, so this is the first week. Because as I was looking at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 to 14, there's two very important ideas I want to talk about, and there's no way to fit into one sermon, so you're going to have to come back for the second part. I was speaking with Caesar before the service, and we were saying how in Hong Kong and Europe, and maybe in other parts of the world, it's increasingly more difficult to be a Christian in today's society. I don't know if you've noticed this yourselves, but teaching at the seminary, a lot of times we analyze and we research kind of cultural trends, and I do find this to be the case. Our society is marked by a profound crisis of identity and mission. Our young people, but it also affects us. We have forgotten who we are, or we don't know who we are, and we don't know what we're supposed to do. I think there's a sense of kind of I use the word crisis, but I do mean that, you know. And I think this is because of two reasons. The first is We sort of uphold these two things which seem good but are very detrimental to our thinking and our way of being. The first thing is we uphold kind of individualism. But the downside of that is that we lack community. So we emphasize the individual, but at the same time we feel alone. At the same time, we feel more separated from each other. There's more kind of social media and phones and technology than ever, you know, but we're becoming increasingly more isolated. We also uphold things like freedom, which is good, but then on the downside of freedom is the lack of authority. So this leads to rebellion and sometimes kind of moral ambiguity. I'm not saying that all freedom is bad or all individualism is bad, so don't quote me on that. I'm just saying that by putting these things as our most important things to achieve, sometimes we fall into a trap where we become lost, especially with regard to our identity and mission. In our society today, we value power without restraint. We uphold knowledge without wisdom, or we uphold age without maturity, and passion without love. I think this characterizes our generation. The background to the letters to Timothy, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, is an anemic church. So a church that is lifeless, that is plagued by false teaching and bad behavior. The two usually go together. A church that has become incapable of rising up to become a light to the nations. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 5 says this. Okay, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. See if this sounds like our generation, okay? People will be lovers of themselves. Check. Lovers of money. Check. Boastful. Proud. Abusive. Disobedient to their parents. Ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. How does Paul know what our generation would be like today? As I read this, you know, my heart feels very convicted because I see bits of myself in there, and I see bits of our church in there, and I see bits of kind of Hong Kong and even American culture in there. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, looking like, you know, we're religious, but denying the power of our faith to transform us and those around us. Religion and our Christian faith has become something that is personalized instead of something which is carrying on the work that God has done through Jesus Christ and is supposed to continue outwards. The church of Ephesus, so that's first, the letters of 1 and 2 Timothy are written to the church of Ephesus. The church of Ephesus is one that was threatened by a wave of false teaching. Very interesting, and not from outside the church, but within. Okay, so in a lot of Paul's letters, he says, watch out for false teaching. That guy, he's saying something bad. Or watch out, these people will come and they'll preach this gospel. But in 1 and 2 Timothy, he's talking about a threat to false teaching which comes from within the church. Very interesting. And so Paul sends Timothy there to handle this crisis and to provide some kind of stability and guidance to the church there. And so the letters of 1 and 2 Timothy are letters that Paul sends to Timothy while Timothy is in Ephesus to help and encourage him, especially as the day is coming when Paul himself will not be around. And so I think this for us is a very moving and important letter. In fact, I encourage you to go home this week and read 2 Timothy, because this is Paul's last letter to Timothy. And also, you know, it feels like Paul is kind of passing kind of this mission on to Timothy. He's passing the torch to Timothy. And in a way, we are also carrying forth this torch We're taking up the baton, and we have to take the gospel to places in our society, in our time. And so, in the face of the mounting challenges and the coming dark days that he describes in chapter 3, what is Paul's message to Timothy, his trusted companion, whom he refers to as his own dear son? This is what he tells him. Paul tells Timothy that despite how he might feel right now, that he's not alone. And he gives him two pieces of important advice. Remember and hold on. Sorry, I'm feeling a little emotional because I still feel kind of some sadness that Pastor Jerry has gone. Because in many ways, he was my Paul. Now, I have to carry on what he was doing in some ways. Okay, and we have to carry on what he taught us in some ways. But Paul tells Timothy that despite how he feels, he's not alone. Despite how we might feel that Jerry or Paul is gone, okay, we are not alone. And Paul reminds us through our scripture today to remember and to hold on. So I guess you can guess that today I'm going to talk about remember, right? In my next sermon, I'm going to talk about holding on and what that means. But today I want to talk about what it means to remember and what Paul means by that. So that maybe as we consider our present day challenges, both in our own lives and the challenge of preaching the gospel to those around us, that we will also find that we are not alone and that we might also have the courage to carry on. In our passage today that Sarah read out for us, we find that Paul tells Timothy actually a lot of things that he should already know. That's something that's interesting about this passage. Think about this. If Timothy is Paul's most trusted, co-worker, okay, why is Paul telling Timothy these things? Paul tells Timothy, one, about the faith of Timothy's mother and grandmother, right? Today's Mother's Day. He reminds Timothy of his own commissioning, right? He says, remember, people laid hands on you, right? Why does he have to remind Timothy who his mother is and who his grandmother is? Do you think that's interesting? There's actually some very important kind of significance to that. If I say, Jeremy, remember who your mom is. Remember who your dad is. Why am I telling him, why am I telling him that? And then he also, this is very interesting, Paul reminds Timothy of his own life, Paul's own life and example. As if Timothy doesn't know who Paul is, right? I'm sure he knows what Paul has done, what he has preached, the places he's been. And finally, Paul reminds Timothy of God's faithfulness and life-giving power. As I mentioned, these are all things that Timothy should know already. But sometimes we need someone to come along and remind us of things that we should know, and to tell us again what is truly important, especially when we're feeling lost or alone. This is precisely what Paul does for Timothy. So let me remind you again, when Paul writes this, okay, he knows that he's not going to be around very much longer. Paul writes 2 Timothy while he's in prison, and actually he says that, God will deliver me, but to heaven, right? So he's not saying, I will come visit you and have dim sum or yum cha, okay? He's saying that God is in charge, but this time I don't think I will leave this prison alive. He says this. And so Paul writes to Timothy from prison, and from the tone of the letter, it sounds like Paul doesn't expect to live for very much longer. This is what I was just telling you, but if you are taking notes, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 says this. He says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near." Right? Where is he going? Well, not to parking shop. "I have fought the good fight," he says. "I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now all there is left for me is the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. Not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. So do your best to come to me quickly." These are not the words of someone who, I think, expects to live a long life, right? In verse 9, this is chapter 4, verse 9, he adds this. He says, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom." Paul does not sound like someone who thinks it will be around for a long time in this world. So not only does Timothy have to mourn the loss of his beloved friend and mentor, he will now also have to face the false teachers on his own. Right? So it's kind of two difficulties. Paul is leaving, and now he has his gargantuan task. This is a huge task of being the pastor at Ephesus. But it is precisely at this moment that Paul tells Timothy, "You are not alone." It is at this moment that Paul tells Timothy, "Don't lose heart," and to remember some very important truths that will keep him going. And so Paul tells Timothy that he has to remember three things, and I think maybe there's something for us to learn from this as well. So first, Paul tells Timothy to remember what? His calling. Listen to me as I read this again. This is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 to 7. Okay, listen for what he has to remember, okay? He says, "I'm grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of self-discipline." What is Paul saying here? He's saying that a genuine faith, our genuine faith, has a heritage, and that we do not walk alone. I think this is very interesting. You think you're a Christian today? You think that you made a decision to become a Christian? Well, you're not the first person to do that. And the faith does not begin or end with you. I think there's something comforting to that. There's something that God is doing, and that there is a huge history and tradition and legacy of people, of ancestors, of people who have gone before us, who have gone through the similar challenges, who have faced difficulties but hung on to the gospel. See, even for Paul, he doesn't say, "Well, I'm, you know, the founding apostle, and now you carry on." What does he say? He says, "This is the faith which my ancestors also held," right? Doesn't begin with Paul. He's merely a person that is along the path of this rich heritage of faith. And in the same way, Timothy doesn't have to feel alone, because you know what? Our faith is strong, if I can say it that way. It was there before us, and it will be there after us. We just have to be faithful to do our part in it. Paul reminds Timothy that there are those who passed on the faith to him, including his mother, including his grandmother. I don't know if you feel comforted by that, but I do. Sometimes in the journey of life, it feels very lonely, because you feel like you have to do it by yourself, or you feel like what you're facing is unique. Paul says to Timothy, "You're not alone. Remember how you got here." Paul also reminds Timothy of his gifts and of his calling. That's what the laying of hands means. In the early church, a bunch of people in the church would lay hands on the person that they think God is calling. And they affirm his gifts and also what he's meant to do. Paul says, "Remember that time? You know, my hand touched you. This is something that really happened. He did not imagine it." In chapter 3, verses 14 to 15 as well, I'm not going to go in depth with this passage, but he reminds Timothy of those who have walked a path before him, and even the guidance of the Holy Scriptures. So he tells Timothy, "You're not alone. You're not alone." And so maybe when we start to feel alone, when I start to feel alone, you know, with this task of speaking to TST Baptist Church, you know, three times a month or whatever, caring for your pastoral needs. Maybe we need to remember where we came from. Go start the day with today. Remember where we came from. Remember who led you here. I challenge you to think about that. What is your heritage of faith? You're not just a Christian because you believe in Jesus Christ. You're a Christian because somebody, at some point in time, came and told you about that. And that person was called by God because someone told him about it. We're not alone. How did we get to where we are in our journey of faith? I challenge you to think about that even now or today, this week. Who first told you about Jesus? Who first told you about the gospel? Who led you to Christ? Who are all the people in your life who have touched you, who have been influential to you, who have spoken words of truth and wisdom to you? On days where I feel discouraged, this is what I think about. I think about my dad. I think about the pastors I've had growing up. I think about people who have spoken just the words I need to hear at particular points in time. I remember people who laid hands on me and told me that I have a calling to hold forth the gospel and speak the words of truth. Who are the people in your life who have influenced you? I challenge you, I encourage you to remember. Is it a parent? Is it a pastor? Is it a missionary? And I think if you're able to, you know, go back and seek them out. Spend time with them. Talk to them. Ask them questions. Ask them to pray for you. The journey of faith is too difficult for us to live on our own. And we have to remember that we're only here because God has already done a mighty work through other people in our lives. And secondly, Paul doesn't just remind Timothy of, you know, your mother and grandmother and sisters. He also says, remember me. Listen to me as I read 2 Timothy 1:8. He says, don't be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God. And then he says, for the gospel that I was appointed to be an apostle of, I am not ashamed of. For I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he's able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. So Paul is putting himself out there as an example for Timothy. He's saying, remember me. Remember my example. Remember my life. In verse 8 he says, for this gospel I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you heard from me, and the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. See, I think this is very interesting because Paul has lived his life in a way that he's able to tell the Timothy and Titus in his life to follow his example. Okay. I think a lot of times, you know, we talk about 2 Timothy in terms of, you know, being Timothy and receiving, you know, the mission and taking the baton and running forward. But I think 2 Timothy is just as much a reminder for us to be Paul. And I want us who are mature in the faith to think about this. Today's message is not only for the young Timothys going through difficult times in life and in faith, it is also for the Pauls and the Paulines and the Paulinas in our community. Those veterans of faith who have been down the road before and have wrestled with the same struggles and have so much valuable experience to give. Sometimes when we've gone to church for a long time, sometimes when we've been Christians for a long time, we can feel kind of a disconnectedness with the next generation. We feel like maybe they might not value our opinions. Maybe we feel like they might not understand our language. Today's text, I believe, tells us that we have a responsibility to our young people and to live intentionally, to seek them out and to teach them through the way that we live our lives. Okay? We have to show them. If I can say this, okay, don't get mad at me. I think this is one of the main reasons that our youth are falling away from the faith today. Not because you know, of secular society or TV, okay? But I think it's because we don't take seriously enough our own solemn responsibility to guide our young and to light the path for the next generation. I don't want to make anyone feel bad, okay? But as an example, for those of us, you know, who are, I don't know, 30 or older, okay, 30 or older, can you think of one younger person in the church, outside of your own family, whom you have actively tried to mentor in the matters of faith? If we don't do it, who else is going to? Our young people need us, not just to tell them what is right or wrong, but to walk with them. When the future is unclear and it is, it seems like the solution to their struggles is out of reach, you know, how can we help them? And I believe we don't have to be perfect to do this. We just have to be willing and to be honest and to show them that God is faithful. I mean, that's what Paul does for Timothy. And so in this spirit, for all the Pauls and Paulines among us, this passage is a challenge and an invitation to join Paul in telling the next generation that they are not alone. Paul used himself as an example for Timothy. How are we doing in this arena? How can we genuinely share with our young people the meaning of our calling, the integrity of our work? How can we demonstrate our trust in God? And how can we tell them that we have confidence in them? See, if you think about what Paul does for Timothy, this is something that would give so much encouragement and inspiration for the next generation. I've tried to do this myself in limited ways, you know, for the young people in this church. But this is something that we all have a responsibility to do. You know, meet up with a young person and say, hey, let's talk about faith and calling. Let's talk about, you know, how the gospel has been a source of strength for me when I was going through a hard time. So Paul reminds Timothy where he came from. Paul reminds Timothy of his own example. And lastly, he tells Timothy to remember God's faithfulness and transforming power of the gospel. He doesn't just say, Timothy, look at me, look at people. He says, remember that God is faithful. So that even when Paul is not going to be there, Jesus will still be there. In 2 Timothy verse 1, verse 7, he says, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and self-discipline. In verse 14, he says, guard the good treasure entrusted in you with the help of the Holy Spirit. See, it's never just you do this. There's God's power at work there. 2 Timothy 2:19, he says, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm. God's foundation stands firm. You can count on Him. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 8, he says, remember Jesus, who was raised from the dead, and this is my gospel. And so what I'm saying to you is, you will never walk alone, Paul tells Timothy, as long as you have faith, because Jesus will be right there beside you all the way. You may feel you're far from home, but home is where He is. And He'll be there down every road. So don't lose heart. Don't give up. And remember. And so as I close today, I want to ask you, how is your memory today? How's your memory today? What do we need to remember? Are you a Timothy? Somebody looking for direction and guidance? Or are you a Paul, who has been down the road a few times, and who needs to be more intentional about passing on the tradition of faith to the next generation? Today's passage tells us that no matter who we are, we need each other. The takeaway from today's message is this. Do not lose heart and remember the rich heritage of faith and the examples of those who have gone before us and the faithfulness of God. Aesop once told a story, a fable, about the four oxen and lion. Okay. And it goes a bit like this. A lion used to prowl about a field in which there were four oxen or cows used to live. And many a time he tried to attack them, but whenever he came near, they turned their tails to one another so that whichever way he approached them, he was met by the horns of each one of them. And at last, however, they fell quarreling among themselves. You know, maybe this one cow wanted to eat the grass over there. This cow wanted to go to the water there. And each went off to pasture alone in a separate corner of the field. And the lion attacked them one by one and soon made an end out of all four of them. United we stand, divided we fall. That's what this fable says. As we head into a new generation that is often hostile to our beliefs and threatening to our Christian faith and values, we have to learn to stand together, as Paul and Timothy once did, and become for each other a source of encouragement and strength. And so when we talk about unity and stuff, we often think about, oh, you know, me and Ricky or Terry, okay? We don't often think, you know, me and Michael, or me and, you know, Natasha, right? But I think if we were to take today's passage seriously, we have to rethink what unity means for our church and what it means to pass on the heritage of faith to the next generation in a way that will enable them to carry the torch of the gospel, meet the needs of the next generation. And so let us remind ourselves, I will tell you and you will tell me, that God is always, always faithful. Divided we fall, united we stand, but first we have to remember. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you because despite how we feel, whether the work is too hard or that we feel too alone, we thank you because today's passage tells us that you're with us and that we belong to a rich and long tradition of the Christian faith that shows us that you're in charge. And please remind us today, Lord, that the faith does not begin or end with us, but that your work has been continuing from Jesus onwards through the apostles, to the church, and maybe even to the pastors who preach the gospel to us. Help us to remember, and help us and convict us to pass on this tradition of faith to the next generation. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.